For I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. That's Paul the Apostle. You see, Paul could say that he trusts the Lord with all he has and with all he is, and so can you and so can me. We're not in any different situation. Paul was probably in a lot more difficult situation, but you and I can do the same. He didn't only say it to Paul, he didn't only say it to those in the first century, but he's saying it to us, and we can trust in him.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Because we came.
Aloha kakou e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in Acts chapter 21 with a message titled Rumors.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
And he's talking about Jesus, and while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. There's the key. Three key elements here that Jesus lived by, that Paul also followed, and that we can follow in our life, in our Christian life. Oh, I know they say might is right. Whoever's got the might, who has ever got the power, they're right. You don't come against them. Might is right. But you see, with Jesus, it's turned around. He always turns things around. Oh, you've heard it said that those who are, you know, up there in the upper echelons, they rule over with a heavy hand over those under them. But I say to you, you become the servant of all. That's the greatest in the kingdom of God, the servant of all. So with Jesus, right is might. Right is might. If you're in the right with God, that's the greatest power that you can have, no matter what you have to go through. You see, three ways we find in this 1 Peter 2:23 in which Jesus dealt with rumors, with slander, and with the scandal. First, notice the first part of that. While being reviled, he did not revile or slander in return. Now the term there is to vilify. He didn't vilify, or he didn't verbally abuse or railed against. He didn't retaliate. He didn't give back what they gave to him, is what they're saying here, is what Peter is saying of Jesus. Spurgeon says, some people's tongues bite more than their teeth. Don't let your tongue bite more than your teeth. You see, Peter will say in 1 Peter 3:9, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for this very purpose, that you might inherit a blessing. Paul in Romans 12:14 says, bless those who persecute, bless and curse not. Notice the reverse. Jesus said, do the reverse. Might isn't right. Right is might. Do right. And watch the power that brings. Because you're not here on earth just to be right, but you're here on earth to be right so that you might convert others, so you might have an example to others. Curses, it's been said, are like coal. It will either dirty your hand or burn it. It's like they say, those who throw mud, they get their hands dirty. You see, do the reverse. Matthew 5:44 says, "But I say to you," Jesus speaking, "love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." And Jesus being that example, that's exactly what he does. He doesn't give back what he gets in a negative way, but he gives back positively to others. Luke 23:34, "But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And then they cast lots and divided his garments among them." While they were putting him on the cross, crucifying him and gambling for his garments, he was saying, "God, forgive them. They know not what they do." The Bible tells us in Colossians 4:6, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned as it were with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each person." That is so good. You know, I mean, in marriage, you learn that, don't you? Sometimes we don't always use our words the way we should. And then our mate might remind us of that. And I'm glad that my mate, Danita, reminds me of that. But then other times you're thinking, "Oh, I'm going to get back, you know, some harshness." And then you get back grace and goodness. It just melts your heart, doesn't it? Well, that's what he's saying here. That's what we're to do. You see, your words have weight. Your words have value. They can either heal or they can wound. They can bless or they can curse. That's what the Lord is telling us. Let our words, let our mouth be a blessing to others. The Bible talks a lot about the tongue in Proverbs. It's or even in the New Testament, it's like a little member, but it can set on It's a little member, but set a whole field on fire, you know, if you use it in the wrong way. Jesus taught us not to verbally abuse those who verbally abuse us. I think we've all at times been verbally abused, and often it's by people we don't even know. And maybe it's by people who have a sense that we've wronged them or whatever it might be. Don't ramp it up and use that same tactic on them. The Bible is just telling us, don't do it. They might verbally abuse you, but don't you verbally abuse them. The Bible in Matthew 37 says, "For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned." You see, it goes for those that revile you, and it goes for you who in turn revile them. There's not one little word that'll escape the Lord. Interesting scientific fact that scientists tell us that voice sound waves go on endlessly through space. Instruments sensitive enough placed in outer space could pick up these voice vibrations many years after they are spoken. In fact, they never go away. They never go away. Those very things that we've spoken, somehow they're stored somewhere in space. And if we don't repent, you know, and if we use our mouth in a negative way, they're all going to come back to haunt us. Or at least maybe the Bible says, you know, that we're going to be rewarded for the good that we do for the Lord. But it's interesting that people think that they could just say anything they want, and it's okay. But even science says it's not okay, because those words, they go out in space. I tried to look something up on the web, and I couldn't find it. But I had heard with this scientific fact that there was years after, because, you know, remember Howdy Doody? That was in the 50s. It's Howdy Doody time. That was the whole thing. And they said years after, somehow, some station that had a long reach, I don't know, it was an AM, FM station, probably an AM station, that had a long reach, and somehow, all of a sudden, over the airways, out of nowhere, it came, "It's Howdy Doody time." And where did that come from? And they pointed to this scientific phenomenon. And I tried to look online to see if I could find that, but I couldn't find a story on that. But nonetheless, this is true. Those words that are not guarded, they could come back to haunt us. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, it said, "But I say to you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account, therefore, on the day of judgment." In other words, guard your speech in such a way, as it's been said, that you'd not be afraid to sell the family parrot to the town gossip. The parrot that hears everything and repeats it, and then the town gossip, not going to say anything negative about you. Well, the second thing, that was a pretty long first thing, but the second thing is Jesus didn't threaten retaliation while suffering. He uttered no threats. You see, the natural thing for us to do when you know, threats come to us and retaliation, gossip, or rumors come our way, and we're suffering for that, we want to curses be upon you. You know, you'll be kicking coals in hell when you have to face the Lord, or God's gonna get you. You know, we have that attitude. It kind of rises up in us. But don't verbalize that. Maybe in you, and say, "God, don't let that come out of me. That's not who I want to be." But you see, do the most unnatural thing to do, the very thing that Jesus tells us to do. In Luke chapter 8, verse 28, "Bless them that curse you and pray for them that despitefully use you." That's impossible except by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul in Romans 12, 19 on, he says, "Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you shall reap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.'" Again, you're doing the opposite. You're doing the opposite. Burning coals on the head. There is a tradition here that coal fire in the home would keep the home warm, especially in the wintertime. But if those coals went out, it's very, very difficult to get the coals burning again. So to go over to your neighbor's house, and maybe that's not really a friend, or maybe your enemy, his coal's gone out, he comes over to your house and says, "You know, my kids are just shivering. Could you give me some coals? You know, can you give me a little bit of fire?" So you'd put it in a pan and they'd wrap a towel and they'd carry it on their head. And that's the idea. You know, you're doing good to your neighbor when he's and they're hurting. We often find, in the Old Testament, David, it amazes me with David under Saul, King Saul. He chased him, you know, over the wilderness of Judea for probably a dozen years and wanted to kill him. And David never retaliated. And often David would catch Saul unaware. He could have killed him, but he didn't. And he pleaded with him that, "I'm not your enemy. Why are you chasing me?" You see, and it had the effect that Jesus wants us to have that effect on others, even our enemies. And you find because of the jealousy and because of the rumors, Saul hated David. But then finally, but there are other times, but this is a poignant time in 1 Samuel 24, verses 12 to 16, when you find that Saul was found out, David could have killed him, but he didn't. Let me read it. It says, "May the Lord," David comes out, he reveals himself when Saul is bloodthirsty, want to kill him, and then Saul finds out that David could have killed him. And so here, David comes out, "May the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge me on you. But my hand shall not be against you." And this is 1 Samuel 24, 12 to 16. "As the proverb of the ancients says, out of the wicked comes forth wickedness, but my hand shall not be against you. After whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom are you pursuing? A dead dog, a single flea. The Lord therefore be judge and decide between you and me. And may he see the and plead my cause. Notice David's saying, let the Lord be my judge and your judge and him deal with you. I'm not going to deal with you in this way. Plead my cause and deliver me from your hand. Now, it came about when David had finished speaking these words to Saul that Saul said, is this, notice how he's a phony, but notice how humble it brings Saul. Saul never really repented, but this softened Saul's heart for a time. Saul said, is this your voice, my son David? Then Saul lifted up his voice and wept. You are more righteous than me, verse 17, he goes on. You dealt well with me, and I dealt wickedly with you. Didn't change him, but notice it softened him. At least it opened Saul to hear God and repent. He didn't. But you see, God wants us to be able to open people up to God and soften them, not retaliate against them. Third thing, final thing. Notice he kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. Again, that is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, the last part of verse 23. You see, if you defend yourself, God will let you. I'm going to defend myself. I'm going to tell people how this person was wrong and I was right. And then it goes back and forth. Then that person tells on you and you tell back on them. And it goes on for months. It goes on for years. McCoy Hatfields, you know, kind of attitude never ends. Well, God will let you until you're willing to give up and give in. You see, if you want God to be your defense, he will be your defense. And not to trust God is to take matters into your own hands and to wrestle with the rumors and the slander and the scandal. And you wake up in the middle of the night thinking about it. Here's what I would say if they said that to me. And it goes on and on and on. Sleepless nights and days where you're angry. And all of a sudden you wear that anger on your face. Have you seen people that are just got this anger on their face because they're dealing with it on their own? 2 Samuel 16:7 says, and thus Shimei, remember the story, said when he cursed David, get out, you man of bloodshed and worthless fellow. David was at his lowest when his son Absalom made a coup on the kingdom. David didn't want to fight his son, so he left. But here's a man, Shimei. As David's leaving, he's just cursing him and throwing dust. And Abishai, one of David's servants, commanders, said, David, let me go over there and take off his head. How could he be saying this to the king? You know, and David said, no, don't do it. Don't do it. You know, I don't know if God has told him to curse me and God wants me to learn something from this. Yeah, I'm leaving it to the Lord, and I want to learn from this. And so amazing that David just let that go, and David dealt with Shimei. David dealt with that situation. God will deal with, you know, people that come against you and your situation. In Psalm 18:2, it says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God and my rock, in whom I shall take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Notice all that defense that we have with God. We climb up to the rock that is higher than we are. He's our shield. He's our defense. That's what God is for us. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, for this reason, I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. That's Paul the Apostle speaking. Paul the Apostle. You see, Paul could say that he trusts the Lord with all he has And with all he is, and so can you and so can me. We're not in any different situation. Paul was probably in a lot more difficult situation. But you and I can do the same. He didn't only say it to Paul. He didn't only say it to, you know, those in the first century, but he's saying it to us. And we can trust in him. We now have Jesus' example. We now have Paul's example. And we can use it in our life. Psalm 31, 5, our second to the last verse. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast ransomed me, O Lord God of truth. That's Jesus on the cross saying, Lord, I fulfilled the ministry. Doesn't matter what they've said or what they've done to me. I fulfilled the ministry. That's a prophecy in the psalm. And then 1,000 years later, that took place about 1,000 years before Jesus went to the cross in Luke 23, 46. Here's the fulfillment. And Jesus crying out with a loud voice saying, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And having said that, he breathed his last. We go from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday, well, to Good Friday, and then to Easter Sunday. You see, all the slander, all the rumors, all the gossip that was put upon Jesus, it didn't hinder him from the ministry. He fulfilled everything that the Father had for him. Same with Paul, the Apostle Paul. All the gossip, all the slander, all the rumors didn't hinder anything that God wanted to do with him. And it doesn't have to hinder anything God wants to do with you or with me. You see, reviled, he didn't revile in return. Suffering, he didn't utter any threats. And he kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. So bless those who curse you. Not as a retaliation, somebody's cursing and then you see almost like, I'll get even with him. Oh, well, bless you. You know, no, it's not that kind of thing. It's not that phony kind of blessing. Say, Lord, bless them that you might open their heart like David did Saul. Threatened? Well, if you're going to threaten, threaten them with heaven. Say, you know what? There is a heaven. There is a heaven and I'm going there. I want you to go there. Not with retaliation. And trust God. And trust God. He cares for you and will work things out to his glory and for the purposes in your life. He's always good to his promises. He'll never fail.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Acts, chapter 21, titled Rumors. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our vast media archive. We really appreciate any support or feedback that we receive from our listeners. If you'd like to financially support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online through our website, CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with him today.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in Acts chapter 22. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.